Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
Today's a hillbilly day. We're back with the hillbilly professor. And I must tell you that I started out nice and calm, but I don't know what it is. These hillbillies and rednecks have some kind of effect on me, and after a while, I get going. And it gets wild, okay? This was meant to be a 1 hour show, and the next thing I know is it's 2 hours because I'm busy dealing with this hillbilly professor. But anyway, it is a fun discussion, and we originally had a plan. The plan was to talk about the National Justice Party, which has collapsed, but that went right out the window, and we ended up going down all kinds of other tracks, unscripted, in all kinds of directions. But before we start the show, I thought I'd give you a little bit of a musical interlude, and what you're gonna see is a short piece of hillbilly music. And take a look at these two young guys doing their hillbilly thing, but take a look at their bodies. Look at how fit those young white guys are. They're looking fit and strong. Let me tell you something. If you people, you Americans, ever have racial problems and you really need help, you don't need the United States Army. Just get yourself the local hillbillies. These wild mountain whites, and there's going to be some wild, wild shit going down. They're awesome. So check out these two young guys. I reckon these young hillbilly type guys, they'll be great. They'll be fantastic in a white army.
There's a little bit of Rocky Top.
And here's another hillbilly musical interlude. I couldn't resist it. Check out this hillbilly flash mob. Maybe older folks don't know what a flash mob is. A flash mob is a thing that was invented in the age of the internet. And it's basically a bunch of whites. It's mostly whites who do this. I think every single flash mob I've ever looked at was whites. So what do whites do when they get together suddenly in a group? Well, they actually do something constructive. They're not like blacks who run around smashing things and stealing stuff, okay? When whites get together in a group and they do something suddenly, well, it's actually very cool. So a flash mob is when people have arranged mostly to sing and dance in public, but the public doesn't know it. And so it's a pre-planned thing, and the participants actually hide in the crowd, and the crowd doesn't know what's about to happen. And here you're going to see some hillbilly women, some white women and girls doing a hillbilly thing. And look at them with their dancing and all that. And look at everyone's faces. Everyone is happy. They're happy. They're happy, they're energetic, etc. It's good stuff. We need happy, healthy white people. And after this musical interlude, we go into the show, and I'm busy with the hillbilly professor. And at a point, we are arguing about military stuff, and I discover that I have to tell him that I'm an American supremacist. I am an American supremacist. I believe America can win and beat everybody. So you'll hear what that discussion is about. And take note of the charts on the screen. These are charts showing how Jews are massively, insanely overrepresented at Harvard University. The hillbilly professor talks about this problem and about the Jews at Harvard. So just take a look at this chart. And of course, Jews will try to bullshit everybody by saying, oh, we are there in vast numbers because we're so clever. No, it's because Team Jew is busy bringing in and promoting other Jews. I've seen it done by non-whites. I've seen Indians do it. Here in South Africa, the Indians are mostly Muslims. The Muslims are mostly Indians. And in South Africa, I've seen how the Indians promote each other and work as a team. I've seen it in places that I've worked. They go and they abuse their position in management, and they hire only Indians, and they even give them double the salary that everybody else gets for that particular job. I've seen Indians do it, and Jews do it too. So don't you buy into any of the bullshit that Jews are superior, Jews are cleverer. All of that's a bunch of crap. It's just that Jews have figured out how to work as a team, and they are going in and they are taking over an American university. And then they say, oh no, it's because we're so clever. All bullshit. Anyway. Here's the hillbilly flash mob. Enjoy.
If I ain't got time, but that don't bother me. I'm a hillbilly girl in a hillbilly world, but that don't bother me. Well, I ain't that bright, but I know what's right from mistakes in my color TV. I don't care if I lose my hair, cause I'm living happily. Well, the sun don't shine in the winter time, but that don't bother me. And the car won't go if you drive too slow, but that don't bother me. If you're here to take all this love from me, well, they don't give a damn about a worried man as far as I can see. Well, I don't mind if I ain't got time, but that don't bother me. I'm a hillbilly girl in a hillbilly world, and that don't bother me. Well, I ain't that bright, but I know what's right for mistakes in my color TV. I don't care if I lose my hair, cause I'm living happily. Thank you. got time, but that don't bother me. I'm a hillbilly girl in a hillbilly world, but that don't bother me. Well, I ain't that bright, but I know what's right for mistakes in my color TV. I don't care if I lose my hair, cause I'm living happily.
Hi there, Sid. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
That's good to hear. As long as we're all alive and managing to fumble and bumble on, that's good stuff.
How about yourself?
I'm okay.
I know you
fell
off your roof.
Well, that was over.
Is that healed up?
That was over a year ago. In fact, there's a video that I've just finished working on. It's a video to do with all the crime stuff that happened around my house in September. And in that video, you'll get to see actual details of where I fell, and you'll get an idea of how high I was when I fell. And in there's lots of film footage. So it's all film footage from around where I live. So you'll get a real feel for the things and how they actually work here. I think you're going to be in for some surprises. I think you will be. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell you or anyone what's in the video. I filmed certain things. There were some things I had to hide because I have to be careful about people getting upset about certain things coming out. But I filmed a lot of stuff, and what I didn't film, I also have audio of. And all of you have heard the stories about how crime is in South Africa and how things work. You're going to see how it actually works in the suburbs, in the suburb where I live. And I'm not going to tell you a single thing. When you guys have seen the film footage, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think. Because I think it might just make you people look at our situation quite differently, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed when you just took a camera into that white homeless encampment. Well, I guess he had homes, tents, or whatever. I thought that was excellent. And that kind of stuff is useful because, I mean, you don't see it. And before we get into this, I just want to say one thing. Well, last time we talked about reality. I like that discussion because, for me, it's a constant battle to figure out what's real and what isn't. They're telling us so many lies. You got to triple check everything that they say. And then the other thing I want to say, and I'm speaking to any South Africans, and this is unsolicited, by the way, they might be listening, is you guys should support Jan, I should say, because you desperately need, and this sounds like a bad word, but I mean it in a good way, propagandist, because your story is just not getting told over here at all. And I did a couple call-in shows, and I was surprised because in the show we'd mentioned Jan and you, and you know, several people called in and said, oh, yeah, I've been following this guy for 20 years. So you've been at it for a long time, and you've got a following over here. But, I mean, you're worth your weight in gold as far as telling the story about South Africa is concerned. So I just wanted to say that off the top of the inning.
Thanks very much, Sid. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I've been at this for a long time, and there are many things that, you know, when you get down to, because we're going to talk a lot about the white right and organizing and stuff, and there's a lot of strange things that happens when whites do things. And it's not just in America, it's also in South Africa. And you'll see what happens when whites are functioning differently as different groups. And one lot can come out and say this, and another lot can come out and say that. So sometimes it can be very irritating. I particularly did not like these people who carried on and on about prophecies. I thought that that was very ridiculous, and that that will ultimately backfire, and it has backfired on those people. But it makes us look like a bunch of goofballs, and I hate that. So, but this is all part and parcel of the game. And there are other people who buy into some of this stuff for a while, but I really thought that that stuff was not good. That's why certain people annoyed me a lot when they kept hanging on to that stuff. But I also understand, I must tell you, Sid, there in this thing, there's a lot more depth to whites than you realize. And you know, there are people who struggle, who struggle mentally and morally and physically in order to survive. And the kinds of things that I have to say are not pleasant to listen to. So people hate what I have to say, but what I have to say is as close to the truth as I can possibly get it. And so I do the best I can. Do the best I can. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, that's one reason I follow South Africa, because you guys are a lot farther along than us. And I'm curious as to when the whites over there are organized and will try to, do. Yeah, so I don't know. I've noticed problems with organization. I'm not sure. It seems like in times past, it was easier for whites to get together and form groups that could, effectively, push back against the other groups, but it's like they've detribalized us or something.
Actually, that is a whole topic by itself. I'll tell you what is really going on with whites. What you're kind of talking about is white herd behavior. Whites as a group, whites as a group of animals. And I've noticed this, but I want to tell you that the way that the Jews and liberals go about it, especially the Jews come in order to break our group behavior. And you will notice it everywhere. Take, for example, 2017. What was it? Charlottesville or whatever in America. And how the Americans got together and people were doing their thing and they were going to be happy and they were going to show the power of the white right. And what happened? A whole bunch of things happened, and then Jews and liberals came after people to have people arrested. There were court cases, all kinds of stuff. So something it was that was just normal, where the whites just trying to do their little thing, then the other side comes and they really come to fuck it up. And I'll use that word in this case. They come to fuck it up. And I'll give you an example of South Africa, where the herd behavior starts working, and then they come to destroy it. So, for example, I don't know if you were following me in 2017. In 2017, there was you see, from about 2015, 2016, 2017, there was momentum in the white right, and it was spreading to South Africa, and people were starting to get excited and starting to do things, and they were starting to talk, etc. And just like in America, okay, so the whites start getting going, and they're feeling happy, and they want to show some things. So somebody came up with a thing called Black Monday, and Black Monday was organized so that the whites were going to come and protest for the first time ever on a big scale. And did you ever see my Black Monday videos?
Yes, I think I did.
The ones where the tractors and the trucks and the things came out.
Yes, I saw them. Yeah.
Okay. So
there was a little fighting too, wasn't there?
Yes. So now let me tell you what happened after Black Monday. So Black Monday came and the whites did everything and they did it within the law, etc. But you will notice that there were some people that were killed as well. There were blacks. There was something, I think, blacks with the truck or something deliberately driving into white people, etc. But anyway, after Black Monday, the government completely ignored the whites. They completely ignored the whites. They denied that there was anything like farm murders at all. And you know what the government went and did? Some of the whites, this is just like Charlottesville, some of the whites had the apartheid flag with them. And they had the apartheid flag, and some of them were like standing by the side of the road. They had the apartheid flag. They took some photos and they shared it with other whites. You know what? The government went and made it illegal to use that flag ever again. And that was one of the outcomes of that thing. So the government wiped its ass on the whites, made that thing illegal, and basically then the whites didn't know what to do. There was nothing else that they could do. They'd come, they'd done a protest, they'd done a protest that was bigger, than anything the blacks have ever done, and the government just wiped its ass on it, made it illegal, and that was that. And then the whites are like, what do we do now? You see, so that is the kind of thing that happens in the white right, is that the white right, if you are in the white right and you're really racial and you stick it out, what you will see is you'll see people come and people go, and people getting broken and people quitting. And I've seen people, I know people who've been in the white right. I'm not kidding you if I say they've been in the white right for like 40 years. 40 years nonstop. And they are so beaten, broken, despondent, they don't even believe in anything anymore. So this is what happens when you enter the white right. Now, in the white right, when the white right was rising in America, and also the herd behavior is contagious. So if you Americans get going and you start doing stuff, then the South Africans see it, and then they start doing stuff, and it's great. And you'll see Australians and Europeans. This stuff is very contagious, and it's great. It's wonderful, okay? But you'll see that our enemies, Jews, liberals, the blacks, you'll see that they come to try and destroy this thing. And the other thing they do, of course, is court cases. So they go hunting people down, chasing people, trying to throw people in jail, etc. Now when you say, have the whites in South Africa been organizing? Well, the whites in South Africa have been organizing for a long time. And people come, white people come out of the woodwork, and then they start wanting to do something, and they form something, and they try to do something. Some of them are just common people, and then you get a couple of guys who got a bit of money and stuff, and they start doing stuff. And you watch one person after another being destroyed. You see them eventually run out of steam, run out of money, run out of enthusiasm, and you see them break. So the one thing I want to tell you about the white right and anything serious, because we're also going to talk about the National Justice Party, anything serious in this game, let me tell you something. The Jews, the liberals, the blacks, they're ruthless, okay? And they'll look for any way to fuck it up, okay? They'll look for any way. Again, I'm using that word, but that word is very appropriate for this. They'll do anything to stuff it up. And they go after people, they hound people, they harass people, and there's no ending to it. You know that I've been in court, and you've seen other people go to jail. So let me tell you that if you are racial and you are really standing up for the real thing, let me tell you, it's going to be difficult. They will come at you in 101 ways. But it's the only game in town. It's the only game that has results. And I was actually reading some of the memoirs of Germans where you read about the Nazi Party and Hitler and the things Hitler was doing. And I must tell you that to do this stuff, you have to literally devote your entire life to it. You have to literally stop doing what you're doing, and you have to throw yourself into this with every ounce of energy that you have. I was reading where a guy who was one of the close associates of Hitler in the early days of the Nazi Party before Hitler became the Führer, that guy actually wrote and said that he just got married, and in that year when he got married, he only spent 42 days at home. All the other days he was with Hitler on the road, traveling through Germany, talking to people, organizing, working every single day. And to do the things that we have to do, it's much harder than people realize. This is not politics as usual. It's not the fake, weak politics of, let's say, Democrats and Republicans. And you just get together and you get your flags and everybody goes and does their stuff. And you rent out a stadium and everyone comes and it's all fun and so forth. No, the white right, they hunt people down. They look to see how can they break organizations and break people. And they hunt people down to break them. They do this to everybody. And just look around you, look at other people in this, and look also at how scared people are of being doxxed. You know, being doxxed is like terrorism, okay? Somebody is scaring you. You're an American, you live in America, you're free, you're supposedly free, but you're now afraid that you're going to lose your job, you're afraid you're going to lose your bank account, you're afraid. Jews have already brought terror to you in a free country where you are not committing a crime. You're just doing what you're allowed to do by the Constitution. But look at how the Jews already have all of you scared and how you got to start watching your back. And I've seen instance after instance of how scared whites are. They don't want to donate money because they're scared of this, they're scared of that, they're scared of their jobs, they're scared of their bank accounts. So that should show you, man, you're dealing with an entity that is very practiced. This entity does this work in lots of countries. It's got lots of experience, and it knows how to do illegal things legally, and it knows how to stop you from doing legal things that you're allowed to do. Jews are way ahead of the game. These people play around in every single country. And when I was in court, there's still things that I want to tell you people about my court experiences. I saw how freaking slick these Jews are, because these Jews are used to hunting down people and destroying people. They destroy people all the time, and they do it all across the world. And then they run around and say, oh no, the whole world hates us, everyone's an anti-Semite. But the things they get up to, so just be aware that it's not that people don't want to do stuff. There are people who want to do stuff, but then they go through the motions and they have nasty experiences.
Well, to that point, you have to excuse me, I have a cold. But to that point, I was shocked when the Colorado Supreme Court just took Trump off the ballot. I mean, this is a presidential candidate, an ex-president, and that they had the balls to just take him off the ballot. It's like, if that's allowed to stand, that means that the judges control the United States, the judiciary. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it was shocking to me, but I've been shocked a lot over the last 3 or 4 years, that's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, what a power play. And I assume the Supreme Court will overturn it, but you never can tell because I think several of them may be compromised. Roberts in particular, I'm suspicious of. So I just don't, at this point, my head spins. To pull next. The other thing is somehow the Jews have gained control of the media, largely gained control of the media, and that's a big thing. So we're swimming in a sea of propaganda against us, and what they're telling us is be individuals, don't get together. All the races are equal and the same. Essentially, it's just a matter of skin color, and that's just not true. So, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And that's why I enjoy talking with you, because, like, last time I was asking you a couple questions, and you understood exactly what I was getting at. You know, the vast majority of the people I talk to, it's like I'm talking from another planet. So, yeah. I mean, it's a tough row to hoe. And the other thing is you know, half the whites, because I'm not a radical by any means. You know, I'm not out there, you know, let's get rid of, let's genocide the blacks or anything like that. It's just like, you know, everybody else is, my point is everybody else is tribal. And we've got to start behaving tribally or we're going to get ate alive. So, but again, that's one reason. You know, in South Africa, I've decided that I'm a little less concerned about being doxxed because, you know, if everybody's a coward, we're not going to get anywhere. So, yeah, that's been sort of my take on things.
Yeah, some very interesting things you spoke about, which I want to add to. And you're quite right. If everyone's a coward, and then we're going to die, hey? That's why the one thing I've said over and over again is that if people are silent, silence is death. If everybody everywhere is silent, we will be destroyed. I see silence as the greatest threat of all. And that is the one thing that I fight tooth and nail so that at all times I can get out there and not only say things, but say things that I want to say that have meaning. Because that's another thing about people who get into this thing. They all come, there was a video I did. I called the video Jews as a Cancer. And I was talking about Jews as a cancer, that you are living in a society, you think everything is okay, then you discover there's a problem. But what you don't realize is that the cancer has been there a long time, and the cancer has spread, and the cancer can do things that you never imagined. Like you were saying now, that you were shocked by what the judge did in Colorado, okay? And that this is just not the done thing in America. Well, this is because the Jewish cancer has been moving behind the scenes, and you just didn't know that it had that particular thing where it could make that move. And that's the thing about these Jews, is that you don't realize how much power they've got until out of the left field, something hits somebody, you know? So the whites who are against the Jews and exposing the Jews, they think, oh, the Jews only have this power. And then suddenly the next thing is, boom, something happens and nobody saw it coming. I was looking at the writings of Ben Klassen of Church of Creativity. Ben Klassen is the only guy that I know of who reckons that the Jews murdered
Senator Joe McCarthy. So Ben Carson is quite convinced that Senator McCarthy was murdered by the Jews. And then, of course, you'll find Jews all around JFK and that kind of thing. So, you know, that's the danger of this, the Jews as an enemy within. It's an enemy that is completely different to the normal enemy that a tribe or a nation faces. You normally face an external enemy. But when you are dealing with these Jews, Jews are like a cancer. They get into the society. They sneak around. And you don't see it. You don't know where it's moved to. And you don't know. Maybe the guy you're working for is already on their side. But you don't know it. But the day he fires you, you'll find out. So that's the weird, weird thing of Jews. And this makes white people crazy because they've never seen anything like that. And in our history, we're used to fighting external enemies. We grab our guns, we go shoot them, we fight them with swords. But in the case of Jews, you're dealing with such a weird thing. It's almost like an alien. It's almost like an alien from outer space that's come in and it can move around. And so its behavior and everything about it is so weird. And that's what makes Jews so overwhelming for whites, because whites are not expecting it in their own society. And just give me a second. And this brings me back to when I was red-pilled about the Jews. When I had my best Jewish friend who was visiting me all the time, and he'd visit me and we'd have coffee and tea and cookies and we'd talk in my house. And you know what? As time went by, I suddenly began to realize one day, you know what? This guy that I think is a white person who's sitting right next to me in my house, this guy is an enemy. Is an enemy. I'm talking to someone who's an enemy. I can't tell you how that hit me. It made me almost lose my mind for a little while. There's another friend of mine in America. His name is Jeff, he's not a guy I talk about nowadays. He's not red-pilled like us, but Jeff did have a good knowledge of history. And Jeff said to me at one point, when I had been red-pilled about Jews, I went and spoke to Jeff, and Jeff poo-pooed it, but Jeff did make this observation. He said to me that he's come across in history that when people wake up to the Jews, it can be like a religious experience. I want to tell you, for me, it was like a religious experience. It was like God had appeared before me, and suddenly I saw something I'd never seen before. I can't tell you how that hit me when it came home. It was nasty. So you've got to understand that the Jews in particular are a very specific weirdo kind of creepy freaking enemy, and they've been all over the show, and it's very unsettling for whites. So what you are seeing in America, returning to Trump, what you are seeing in America is almost like some of the stuff that happened in South Africa, like the murder of Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. Hendrik Verwoerd, the Prime Minister of South Africa, assassinated, two assassination attempts. And then all kinds of other weird stuff that happens that the whites are saying, but this is weird. We didn't know about this. Where does this come from? What is this thing? And you people are seeing these weird things because the cancer has spread. And what you don't know is where are all the places where the cancer is? Because Jews don't control everything, but they are in all kinds of weird places and they've got all kinds of weird powers. And they've got powers that they know how to corrupt people, and they've got powers over those people. So what you need to figure out is, you know, that judge in Colorado. What is that judge's links back to the, you know, the Jew animal? You know, is he related to the Jews, or is he related to Freemasons? Is somebody blackmailing him? You know, what are all the insides of that guy? Because that kind of stuff, that's the stuff that I was thinking, you know, when Trump lost the election in 2020, I must tell you, that shocked me. When I saw third world communist type stuff going down in America, I was thinking to myself, man, has this already gone too far? Can white Americans get Trump back in power? And do you know, to this day, I'm not fully sure whether I think you people can. I'm watching in fascination, actually. So for me, watching Trump is going to be very fascinating. If you guys can get Trump voted in as president, because there's no question that he's wildly popular, and there's a huge amount of Americans, more Americans support him now than ever before. More white Americans support him than ever before. And my question is, can you people still manage to get him elected? This I want to see. I'm almost like in a state where I say, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not fully convinced that it will work. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, well, I'm not either. So we'll see. And then will he do what's necessary to get control of the situation? So I think he was shocked, because he even said, you know, I was in New York real estate. I thought I'd seen ruthless people until I got to Washington. But a couple points. The Jews are so highly overrepresented in the United States. I'll just give you one example. I was reading an article about Harvard admissions, and they were celebrating because admissions to Harvard had fallen under 50% white. And this is a Protestant white, you know, founded institution, presumably for Protestant whites. So anyways, I got to looking into it. I found a website. It was a Jewish website. I like reading Jewish content, just to see what they're up to, because they'll tell on themselves almost every time. And they said that Jewish admissions to Harvard, and the reason Harvard's important is because it's our leadership factory, right? We're 25%. So say roughly 50%, and they're counted as white, of Harvard admissions are white, and then half of those are Jewish. And what they'll say is, well, our IQ is higher, but yeah, no, I mean, it's, well, look at the Biden's cabinet. I mean, they're so overrepresented there, or the presidents of Ivy League colleges. I mean, you know, more than half, and keep in mind, they're 2% of the population, more than half are Jewish. And it's like, and people are starting to notice. And I'll also say that this war in Israel, one of the good things that are coming out of it is I'm seeing people openly speak of this. And I'm not even saying they're malevolent, because what the heck? I mean, they're helping each other out, and they're doing good doing that. I'm just saying, you know, whites better stop being chumps with them. Because some of them are malevolent, obviously, but you know, it's just like they're just doing what anybody would do, you know, helping out their group. So, but they've made it taboo for whites to act in the same manner. So, yeah, just a couple points there.
Just tell me a bit more about this Israel-Hamas thing that you think is good.
Well, they're bombing the hell out of Gaza, and we're getting pictures, and people are seeing these of them pulling little babies and kids out of the rubble, and it's just so horrific. that yeah, people are starting to go, what the heck, you know? So yeah, and they're starting to look into it, and they're starting to criticize, but they try to shut it down. Like, there was pro-Palestinian, and I don't like the Palestinians, but anyways, they're sympathetic in this case. Students were doing pro-Palestinian demonstrations and that sort of thing, and they're working feverishly to shut it down. And so I mean, coming out of that, people are taking a closer look at the situation. And the other thing I'd say about Trump is, I heard, and this was a Jewish guy, and he said, I don't think he's anti-Semitic, but he knows the Jew. And obviously he does, because, you know, New York, I think his lawyer was a gay Jew, his favorite lawyer back in the day, or not Cohen, I think Cohen, the guy died of AIDS. So Jews are, Trump's been floating around in that milieu for a while. But yeah, but I don't think he's anti-Semitic. And if he was to take control of the situation, say he becomes president again, in my opinion, what he'd have to do is call trusted governors and say, send me up your 100 of your state police investigators. And then he'd have to go to the military, special forces, and then they'd have to start doing investigations and start arresting people. And I don't know if he has the balls to pull something like that off. But I mean, the corruption is so off the charts now that, that's what it's going to take. Something like that. I mean, I'm not saying set up prison camps or anything like that, but start doing investigations on these people, because if you look into the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, there's definitely been a bunch of illegal shenanigans there. And I think there's more coming. And more importantly, not on necessarily the blackmail, but on in the financial circles, because that's another shocking thing, that they were able to reach out and shut down bank accounts. And, you know, you got the various dissidents in the United States. They just lock them out of their bank accounts. And what are you going to do? How are you going to get your money around? So, and the other thing is, they're trying to get rid of cash, because cash drives them nuts. And I'll stop there.
Okay. Your Israel Hamas stuff. Yes, I've seen lots of Americans getting excited over all the killing of Hamas and the cruelty of the Jews. And that's excellent. I just want to go to the topic of reality, because I think if I talk a bit about reality, then you'll see what my angle is on how I see things. When I've looked at this stuff about what the Jews are up to, the liberals, etc., you know, what are Jews trying to do? Jews are trying to gain power all over the world. And they focus on the things that are really important. Jews are mad for power. And normal whites like you, like everyone else, normal whites do not think in terms of power. But those who don't have power, like the Jews and the blacks, they know the importance of power. And they focus all their efforts on getting power. In Africa, the blacks were ruthless, and they were taught to be ruthless in order to seize power and never give up power. And that they don't care about democracy and all that. They just see to it that all they care about is seeing to it that they remain in power. Now, the difference between the blacks and the Jews is that the blacks in Africa have managed to control many African countries, so they function as a state. But the Jews function in white society as a state inside of a state. And they are busy. I did a whole video about Jewish evolution. But I was trying to look at, like, how parasites, I don't know if you ever saw that,
how animals have got symbiotic relationships and parasitism, and how animals can live off other animals and animals can use other animals, and it becomes absolutely insane what nature can allow. And when I look at Jews are just a kind of a parasite, a kind of a human parasite that has learned how to live off other people. But they're like a parasite that's specialized in white people, in European people. They know us inside out. And yes, I also like to read Jewish stuff to see what the Jews are boasting about. So I'm in agreement with what you're doing. But I just want to say to you that and believe it or not, I'm going to have to edit this thing because I've now actually lost my train of thought. So just give me a couple of seconds to just find my feet a bit.
I would just say that I doubt if there's very many Jewish farmers out there.
Yeah, I understand. So, yes, getting back to reality, what I was going to say to you is that when I look at what the Jews are trying to do and what they've done in the past, is they want power to control people and control everything. They want power everywhere. So they want power with money. They want power in the elections. They are absolutely obsessed with all forms of power. So they've infiltrated all kinds of weird places, and then they've got people sitting in places. So they, you know, whether it's the media or whether it's here or wherever it is, Jews are obsessed with power. So
yeah, I keep losing your audio.
No, it's
you know, on your break.
It's deliberate. I was coughing. So what I want to tell you is that going back to what the white right says, most of the people in the white right spread a lot of propaganda about how the Jews are going to kill everybody, how everything that's happening is part of the plan, and that the plan was this. And you'll see, then people will say, oh, the plan was really, we're going to break America, and then we're going to destroy the economy, and then we're going to kill everybody, and so on. And no, you're wrong. They want power, but they don't want their power to fall apart. So they want power, but they don't want their power to break. They want to control the economy. They want to control the government. They want to control the media, but they don't want that power to be broken. And the beautiful thing that is happening, if you look very carefully, is you'll see that thanks to the good old white right, okay, the good old much beaten up white right, you'll see that people have managed to red pill people, started spreading ideas, and you'll actually see things breaking. And so getting back to reality, no, they didn't want things to break. They just wanted to control it and carry on with it while sidelining whites and driving whites down and crushing whites and replacing them with blacks. But they weren't going to kill everything and destroy everything. And what's really going on is that you can see that things are falling apart, that the power that they did have is breaking, and now new things are coming out. Example, take Donald Trump. They didn't want Trump to come to power, but to their utter horror, he did come to power. So now they've been busy ever since he came to power. They were working night and day to destroy him, until they eventually, they tried to impeach him. They carried on and on with every freaking thing that they could come up with to destroy him. And eventually they managed to get him out in the 2020 election. And they are still busy fighting him to try and stop him getting back in. So that stuff that's happened with Trump, if you'll look carefully, you'll see that that's happened in many areas. Jews have lost control of the influence of the media. The internet has come. The white right has managed to spread all kinds of stuff about race, about the Holocaust, about Jews. And the Jews are jumping around actually trying to do damage control and to win the situation back. And the beautiful thing that is that as Jews are doing things and other things are starting to come out of the woodwork, which again, too many people run around and say, oh, Hamas was set up by Israel. This was a plan and the Jews planned this. No, Hamas didn't plan this. The Jews didn't plan this. Hamas did this by itself. And look at all the beautiful things going wrong for Jews as a direct result of Hamas. And if you look closely at more and more things, you'll see that it's not a case that the Jews are in control. The Jews are losing control. But then in order to regain control, they got to do some other weird thing, okay? And one thing's leading to another thing, and it's getting wilder and crazier and weirder and weirder. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it because it shows that the system, that the whole thing is breaking down. And you can see how desperate they are to try and suddenly do this over here and do that over there, because things are getting going in places where they did not expect it to go. They had their plan, but not everything works according to their plan, and lots of things go wrong. And so that is why I get quite irritated with certain people in the white right who then say, oh, everything was a plan and we're all going to die and we should be dead. We're going to be dead next week. All that kind of talk, that kind of talk irritates me and annoys me because it's wrong. Look carefully and you'll see that the Jews are not always winning, and then one thing leads to another, and I'm loving it. Every single thing leads to a new problem. I'm enjoying it so much. And the real critical thing is whites waking up. When whites start looking around and they start seeing, oh, look at this thing. I didn't expect that. This doesn't happen in America. That shouldn't happen in America. That thing's never happened in America before. That's awesome. And we need to keep that awakening going. So I'm trying to explain reality as I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Colorado thing's a sign of desperation on their part. But I am confused as to why they are so scared of Trump. I really am, because he was a friend of Israel. And by the way, if I hear Israel is our greatest ally one more time, I think my head will explode. I mean, how are they our greatest ally? I mean, the only thing they do is try to suck us into wars. And I think people are starting to notice more and more and more. I mean, like I said last time we talked, we've got these Zionist churches around here, and they're probably hopeless. But you talk to various people, and you know, as long, I mean, you don't want to say, there's kikes and da 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 da, but you say, well, the Jews are doing this and this and this, and I'm not so sure why Israel's our necessarily greatest ally. And they are bombing the hell, and it's indiscriminate bombing. And I'll tell you why I think it is. So they got hit, they, you know, whatever, 1,200 people got killed, and they could have sent their special forces or the troops into the tunnels and into the buildings and done precise strikes, say, against Hamas leadership. But I think they're just too chicken for that. I mean, they're not going to get down in those tunnels with troops. So they've just decided to just indiscriminately bomb the entire area. So even within my own family, I will say that I've had arguments with various members because they're like, well, you know, Moscow Jews and this and that. I'm like, man, have you seen them pulling the little kids out of the rubble and stuff? And I mean, under some circumstances, I mean, certainly the United States probably did far worse with the firebombing of Tokyo and the firebombing of Dresden. So even the nuking of Nagasaki, which I actually went there to Nagasaki, it looked pretty normal. I was surprised. I expected it to be depopulated, but it looked pretty normal. So they've recovered. But so I think people are starting to notice. And you can even tell in mainstream commentators, they won't come out and say it, but you can tell that they understand that this is a problem. And again, like I said, I don't think, you know, I wouldn't say go so far as say, well, they're evil and they're malevolent and, you know, this and that. But they are looking after their own interests to a remarkable degree. I mean, look what they pulled off. They were able to create a little country for themselves. So the Zionist. And that's the way that people will talk about it. They won't say the Jews. They'll say the Zionists are problematic. So I think we'll see what happens, but it's getting frothy and it's fraying along the edges. I agree with you completely on that respect.
Yeah, and you see, the more obvious it becomes that normal white Americans look around and say, good God, what is this thing? And good God, what is that thing? By the way, did you see there was some film footage came out of two men who were having sex, I think somewhere in one of the government buildings in America. And that thing just popped out the other day and like left everyone like stunned. And one of the things I'm asking myself is like, is that one of our people? Is that maybe a good guy in the system who maybe got that out there? There's a bunch of stuff like that. So the other thing is also, as things unravel, one of the things I've discovered is that not all the whites and not all the people are stupid and idiotic. There are people also inside the system who actually are seeing things, and they may even be seeing things that you and I will never see. And in their own quiet way, you don't know what they are doing. So that is so important that people on the white right, we got to say things in public and we got to wake people up in public. But there are other people who we may be waking up that may be listening to our broadcasts, including the spies who are spying on us. It's not to say that everybody is an enemy. And I love these things. There was an audio from one of the books that Alex Linder did that I actually want to get back to. It's a short audio where Alex Linder was reading from one of those history books, possibly one of McDonald's books. And Alex was reading and he was saying something about it often happens that when Jews are in control or in power, that their power becomes unstable. When I heard that thing from Alex Linder, that thing really struck a note with me. And because it sounded as if Jewish power becoming unstable is something that's happened in the past many times when they've been busy in Europe, busy taking over places and things. And it could be that this is just part of how this thing plays out. In the same way that when the blacks are running things, we know the blacks are idiots and they will run things into the ground. And it could be that the Jewish system of seizing power has itself got problems that most of us are not aware of unless you've actually studied the history in depth. About Trump and Colorado, oh yes, you wanted to know why don't they like Trump. Another thing about the Jews, Sid, is that I'm convinced this is why I was interested in Professor Quigley, is because there's too much stuff that we are hearing in the news that has got no meaning. We are not really listening. We don't have access to, or at least I don't have access to, people who are much wealthier and upper class, like Trump and, you know, those billionaires and multimillionaires, those kinds of people, okay? We don't know, or I don't know, I've never seen writings or videos or things where the thoughts of people high up in your society, people who have actual power, either money power or they are bureaucrats high in government. I've never seen where information from those guys comes out. Now and then someone on the white right in the past might run into something and tell it to the people. But there's a lot of stuff that must be happening at high levels all the time that we will never see. You'll never see it on CNN. You'll never see it in the New York Times, etc. That's why I was fascinated by Quigley and Quigley's people that he spoke to and knew. So one of the things that I've concluded about reality is that Jews know who the movers and shakers are in all parts of society. Not everywhere, but they are constantly hunting for either people with money or people with positions of power. Jews may be going and talking to them, befriending them, and then striking deals with them, so that Jews say to them, "Oh, okay, you got a problem with this thing. Okay, what we'll do is we're going to help you with this thing, but then you got to help us with something else." Now, let me give you an example from South Africa, something I came across. Is that, do you know, in the time of apartheid, in the 1980s, when South Africa was, when the whole world was ganging up on South Africa, do you know that in that time when they were ganging up on South Africa, of course, we got lots of Jews in South Africa. And we've got communist Jews, and then we've got, quotes, good Jews, okay? Do you know that the South African government actually was paying, I think, the ADL. The South African government, the apartheid government, paid the ADL to steal files from the, I think it was from the FBI. They paid the money to steal files from the FBI on certain individuals, and the ADL, who are against racism, they stole files and passed it on to the South African government. So I think that when all these things happen, that you've got Jews floating around everywhere, and these Jews are striking deals, they are dealing with people, they're having dinner with these people, they're befriending them, and they are busy wheeling and dealing and doing all kinds of things. So I don't think all of Jewish activity is just like a fixed plan. I think that there are lots and lots of Jews who are coming across things and then going back to the other Jews and saying, "Hey, you know, there's a judge. He's got, we can do something with this guy," or "there's a businessman over there," or "here's a faggot, but the faggot is rich and he does this and that." Or "there's a general and we know this and this about him. We can manipulate him or we can use him in a certain way." I'm telling you that I think that that is where a lot of creepy things also come out, is that Jews have got all kinds of weird friends and connections in all kinds of high places. And then someone says to them, "Okay, we got a problem here." And that could be, that, for example, could be how the Jews and Trump may be an issue, that there are things that Trump does that is not overtly against the Jews, but it impacts other things that the Jews don't want. And maybe the Jews have even struck deals with other people in the system, and so that they now all work together in order to do things. I think there's a whole lot more to this, because when you read history, you'll always find that it's one person talking to another person. They've got names. You've got Fred, the Jew Fred, who meets a guy called Joe, and they strike up a friendship and they go and do something. I think that is where lots of these things come from, and that's where corruption comes. And then the Jews say to the guy, okay, you know, you're in this position. If you can make this move, we'll give your buddy over there a bunch of money and all kinds of stuff. I think that's where all this corruption and sexual shit and all this stuff comes from. Jews are just trying to see how they can play the system for their benefit. And if they need to destroy this person or work against that thing, they're busy all the time. And they're even on both sides of the coin. So you've got Jews that are Democrats, Jews that are Republicans, and I'll tell you, Jews will be doing all kinds of weird things. Returning to Trump, there was a audiobook that I put out about Donald Trump, about his time in the White House. And I put it out specifically for people to see what it was that Trump did and what the conclusion was about Trump. It was a 9-hour audiobook. I put it out quite a long time ago, more than a year ago, I think. And in that book, the conclusion in that book was that the real problem with Trump is that Trump is uncontrollable as a human being. You cannot go to Donald Trump and say to him, hey, Donald, you got to do this and this and this, and you mustn't do that and that and that. You can't do that to Donald Trump. His character is such that Donald Trump will do what Donald Trump wants to do. And if you piss him off or you annoy him, he'll do other things and he'll even turn on you and so forth. Donald Trump is uncontrollable. And that is the reason they don't want him. That is my conclusion. My final thing that I want to tell you about the Jews in Israel is I've been going through the book that Frederick of the Snack Shack was asking me to put out. I've got the PDF, and I'm giving the PDF away already, but I want to tell you more about it. Hilaire Belloc's book, The Jews, from 1922. Hilaire Belloc actually has a very fascinating discussion about the creation of Israel. He talks about Palestine, because remember, he's writing in 1922, but the Jews are angling to create this Jewish state called Israel in Palestine. And Hitler also talks about Israel and Palestine, again, before it even exists. But I came across a very interesting discussion, quite a deep, detailed discussion in Hilaire Belloc's book about the Jews and what would happen if the Jews do Israel. And let me just make a note about this. I just want to make sure that I don't forget this. So what Hilaire Belloc was saying was, in his analysis of Jews and the history of Jews, is that Jews have always been moving around in the Western world, and the Jews have got their naughty things that they get up to. He brings out that a huge problem with the Jews is that the Jews operate in secrecy. He says Jewish secrecy needs to come to an end. But of course, the Jews are operating in secrecy. Why? Because they're up to all kinds of naughty, dirty, illegal shit all the time. But anyway, Hilaire Belloc talks about Israel. And Hilaire Belloc says that if the Jews go and they create their own state, and he talks about Zionism, he basically says The Jews can't have their cake and eat it. They can't have Israel and continue being the nomads and the infiltrators and the victims that they currently are. That they are going to find themselves in a situation where they have a country and the rules of that country, you know, that the world is going to view Jews in a different light. And you know, some of what Hillel Belloc has said may be coming true right now. I was amazed by the depth of Hillel Belloc's views. And Hillel Belloc was writing about the Jewish alliance with the British and the Jewish alliance with the Americans. This is back in 1922. And he talks about how Jews are protected by the whites that they have struck alliances with. That's why people aren't allowed to go and kill Jews. All of that stuff from 1922, it's current like as if it came out yesterday. I was amazed by the depth of Hillel Belloc's analysis, I must tell you.
Yeah, I'll tell you something that gave me a lot of insight is I like Whitney Webb. I think she's sharp. She's liberal, but she's wise to the Jewish issue. But she did an interview with Maria Farmer. And what it wasn't even an interview. They were just talking on the phone. Maria Farmer lived with Epstein essentially for a year, was his assistant. But anyways, they got to talk, and so she was dealing the dirt to Whitney Webb, and this was just a phone call, just two women gabbing. But they were talking about Maxwell, and he was a Israeli operative. They ended up killing him. But Ghislaine, he wanted her to go marry a Kennedy, so he sent her to New York. And it was just interesting to see how they operate. And the other thing that they were talking about is Delaney's sister, I can't remember her name, she was looking into technology. So one of the things that they do is they got these big bags of money. They run around looking for promising things. For instance, Google, Sergey Brin is Jewish. If you'll remember, there was a Yahoo search engine. And I don't know if that was Gentile owned or what it was, but they invested heavily in Google. Next thing I know, there's all these Google cars running around with cameras taking street views. I was amazed. It's like that takes a lot of capital to pull off. And now Google is almost indispensable. But you'll notice Google's heavily censored. And I've been amazed at the censorship that's gone on. So that's part of the game that they play is they've got a lot of money and they'll identify promising technology and they'll plow their money into it in order to get a control of a certain company. So I said this last time we talked, if you play ball, they'll support you. If you don't, they're against you. So I don't know, but I'm still not convinced. Maybe it is that Trump's just mercurial. I still don't know. There might be some secret stuff why they're so desperate to keep Trump out. But again, let's hope that they overstep their bounds. But I have noticed people openly speaking about it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Just elaborate a bit more about Trump and people speaking openly. You think there's something deeper as to why they're against him?
Well, as I said a minute ago, I just don't understand what's against him. I mean, there may be stuff that we don't know about. You might be right, though, that you make a lot of sense when you talk about they just don't know if they can control him or not. But he seemed like he was pretty supportive of Israel. And that's another thing I'd say. I've read that he's a conservative Jew, and I actually like him. But it's funny because when it comes to Israel, he's totally loyal. And I think that's pretty much across the board with most of the Jews, is they're loyal to Israel. And I'm of mixed opinion because it's like I'm tempted to support Israel so we have a place to send them.
I'm exactly with you on that. I've always thought something similar. But yeah, just say, let them go to Israel. Let them go to Israel. And then just one day, just go to the Iranians and say to them, hey, here are some nukes.
Well, there's the Turks too. And I think the Turks, the Muslims are getting fed up with it. I like Douglas McGregor too. And he's saying our army isn't super undefeatable. And you've seen it in Afghanistan. And we'll see what happens. They sent those carrier groups over there, and they blocked the Red Sea. So that's a serious matter. But according to Douglas McGregor, the aircraft carriers are just floating targets with the missile technology. And so technology's changing, and the military situation's going back and forth. I don't know. I think the next couple years may be quite wild.
I hope it gets wild, and I don't take Douglas McGregor seriously at all. I've listened to him and Scott Ritter. I've actually sat and listened to what they say, and I've gone and looked and analyzed. I don't take those guys seriously. I regard them as Russian propagandists. And I will say this to you, is that the United States Navy is the strongest military force on the face of the earth. It is 7 times stronger than all the navies of all the nations of the world put together. The United States Navy will destroy anybody. And the Chinese don't amount to a hill of beans. Don't even worry about any of those things. And if you don't believe me, come back in 5 years' time and you come and you see if you can show me the photographs or the details of American aircraft carriers that were destroyed, etc. I see absolutely zero indication that anybody can even sink an American ship. The American Navy is insanely powerful. And in actual fact, I hate what the American Navy is doing, because the American Navy is keeping globalism alive. And I am much happier with those guys in Yemen who are trying to shoot at ships, because that is messing with globalism. Between COVID, the Ukraine war, and now this Israel thing, globalism, which really is a thing that now that benefits the Jews big time, that thing is struggling, and I'm liking all the problems that are coming from that. I'm liking it a lot. So I must tell you, the only force that I am afraid of is is the American Navy and the American Air Force. If we in South Africa try to break away and form our own country, the only force on earth that I'm afraid of is the American Navy and the American Air Force. If the United States government decides to kill the Boers, that's the only enemy that I really fear. I don't even worry about the Russians and the others.
Well, our government's force is formidable. I mean, we've got nuclear launch capabilities from the submarines, and they're hard to get to. But I don't know, Jan, because technology is changing, and the Iranians and even the Turks, if the Turks get involved. And they are the leaders of the Sunni Muslims, and I think they're concerned. We can see major conflicts. And the thing with the Navy is, I mean, if you're inland, like the Navy can't touch me, for instance. So I guess they could launch a nuclear missile in here. But yeah, so there's that. The Air Force is problematic, and the carriers are problematic. But if you went up against Russia has submarines too. So that would be potentially tough. And then these new missiles they've come up with, I think they're formidable. It's hard to say until something happens. But I don't know. I think you may be overestimating the capabilities of the current United States military. I mean, it's not 1992. My brother-in-law is a pilot with the Marines, and I've talked to him about this, and he goes, yeah, we're not, I mean, in 1992, we were a Goliath. I mean, nobody could touch us. But I'm not so sure that that's not changing a little bit. I mean, you're right, we're still the most powerful military, but probably by far still. But they could be hurt. I mean, again, Afghanistan, what could the Navy do in getting to Afghanistan? They essentially ran us out of there. So there's that example.
Well, I differ with you. And I see that you haven't been watching some of my videos, like my ones about why white men have been losing wars since World War II. I follow military stuff a lot, and I must tell you that the Western world is so far ahead on technology that Russia and China are nowhere near. I'm not saying that the stuff is perfect. The one thing that I noticed, for example, about your military, okay? You people, I think your current military budget is $1 trillion. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think your current military budget for the current year or so is about $1 trillion. You people spend more money on military than I think all the armies of the world combined. So the one thing that I do notice that I think is not so good is that it's amazing how much money you people spend for some of the things that you get. You spend insane amounts of money for certain types of aircraft and certain types of ships. Your government will spend as much money on a certain type of vehicle as some countries will spend on an army. But despite the inefficiency in that sense, I must tell you that I've never yet seen any indication that your technology is behind anyone else's. And in fact, your technology is far ahead. The way that your people are doing things is you've got scientists and engineers who are constantly working on things, and they are working on things that nobody's even thought of. They are working on weapons systems to counter things that haven't even yet been built. So your people are so far ahead of everyone else that I must tell you, Russia and China don't amount to a hill of beans. Eh? And the more I've watched the Russians in this Ukraine war, I don't know what you're seeing. But if you just take a look at the Russian Navy, for example, the Russian Navy has been pathetic, and the Russian Navy isn't even as big. Putin hasn't been able to recreate the kind of weapons that the Soviets had, the kind of numbers and quantity of weapons that the Soviets had. Putin's weapons, there are many of Putin's weapons that even need Western technology. They got to buy stuff that comes from the West in order to make some of their stuff run. That nice attack helicopter of the Russians, that Ka-52 or whatever it's called, that thing uses some chips and things that come from the West. It's not manufactured in Russia. So, and I've also seen
Let me just clarify Afghanistan versus other things. You are making out as if America was defeated in Afghanistan, but you haven't watched my video about why white men have been losing wars. And the reason you've lost in Afghanistan is the same reason that whites have been losing wars all the time. And it's got to do with rules of engagement and all that kind of stuff. It's not got anything to do with the technology. Your troops were not defeated in Afghanistan. The real thing has got to, you really should watch that video about why white men have been losing wars since World War II. I brought up all the different things. I went into Vietnam, Rhodesia, all kinds of things. And you'll see there, it's got nothing to do with the technology. You're not losing because your technology is shit. You're losing because of other crap, okay? You're losing because of other crap and other bullshit. And there has been a fight. There was an actual battle between American and Russian troops, and it took place in Syria. And it happened in 2018. It's the only battle that I've ever been able to find since World War II where Russian soldiers and American soldiers actually clashed. And it was Russian armored columns were going and attacking someplace because America was also secretly mucking around inside Syria. And the Russians were there and the Russians went to attack some base or something. And the American guys actually just called in their air power. And the American air power came in and it just totally slaughtered the Russians. The Russian ground forces didn't stand a chance. I'm not saying your army is the greatest, the most fantastic and wonderfully designed thing that's ever existed. Your army's got all kinds of weird things about it. But in many respects, your real military power is based on aircraft, actually. It's aerial. Aerial power is your biggest thing. So it doesn't even matter if you've got like many troops on the ground. You come in with overwhelming air power and your air power is insane. And it doesn't even have to be nuclear. Nuclear stuff isn't even going to happen. Nuclear stuff isn't even on the table. I raised this issue on many videos that I did relating to Ukraine, where people came to me and they said, you know, Putin's going to go nuclear. Putin's going to go nuclear. The Russians are going to nuke stuff. I used to believe that. And I truly believed the Russians could nuke you people off the face of the earth. 23 years ago, I was of the mindset that you guys in America are going to be killed and the people who will kill you will be the Russians and they'll kill you with nuclear weapons. I want to tell you, my big wake up was in 2011. I came across a documentary and you really should watch that if you haven't watched it. It's an old documentary. It's one of the first videos I made. It was called, the title for it was, I titled it, How America Built UFOs. And in that video, How America Built UFOs, I actually talk a lot about the kinds of technology that your guys have been building and experimenting with. And the crux at the heart of it was a one-hour documentary that was done, that came out in 2011. And this documentary came out because all the guys who were involved in this were old and they were gonna die. So they brought out all these old CIA guys and pilots and so forth. And they started talking about Area 51 and about the building of the planes that led to the SR-71 Blackbird. And they were busy designing stealth aircraft. And they were designing, I think they were already designing stealth aircraft either in the late 50s or early 60s. Before I was born, they were already designing stealth. and they were getting their planes to fly. And let me tell you what the crux of that thing is that I never imagined, I was always fascinated by the Russians and all their nuclear power and nuclear weapons. And I used to believe in all these kinds of Christian types of things, of the end times and nuclear bombs and all that kind of stuff. So 20 years ago, I believed you guys are going to get absolutely killed. The Russians are just going to come one day. They're just going to fire thousands of nuclear missiles at you. You're all going to die. All of you will be dead, and you stupid Americans will die. What I didn't know was how clever you stupid Americans really are. And that the CIA in the 1960s was behind the building of spy planes. The particular spy plane that they built that was actually even better than what came afterwards was a plane called Oxcart. And Oxcart was a spy plane that they built at Area 51. And the purpose of Oxcart was to go and check out any time the Russians make any kind of move with their nuclear forces. Oxcart gets there in like 3 hours. It's like 2 to 3 hours. And your planes are flying over Russia and you are photographing the nuclear stuff on the ground and the Russians can't shoot your planes down. And that was happening in the 1960s. And I couldn't believe when they brought out all this information and all these old guys who were building these planes and flying these planes and old CIA guys, and they brought out the photos and they told the stories. It was an amazing thing. And it's sitting inside my video called How America Built UFOs. And that was in the 1960s. So in the 1960s, from the 1960s onwards, you guys have always had the ability to know everything the Russians do with their nuclear forces. Because the Russians cannot just press buttons and the nukes are going to take off. There's a whole process of arming these things and telling everybody what to do and where to go. And your guys were monitoring every single movement of the Russians. I had an old American lady who was one of my first hardcore supporters. She died in 2012. Her name is Joanne Wilcox. Joanne Wilcox told me a story that she knew a guy. She knew a guy who was in the US Navy, who was in miniature submarines. He was in miniature submarines, and the miniature submarines were sneaking around Russian harbors in the time of the Soviet Union. So I must tell you that, and then there's the other stuff. If they were building these aircraft in the 60s, what are they building now? Have you noticed all those funny UFOs that people have been seeing that are doing speeds of like 5,400 miles an hour and that can make like 90 degree angle turns? Yeah. Have you looked into those things? Because I'm telling you, that is military stuff that is being worked on and it exists. And then everyone's like, oh no, it might be aliens. It's not aliens. It's your military technology. It's happening right now. And nobody else has got that.
I was shocked when Tucker came out with the UFO thing. And the thing is, Tucker's dad was a CIA guy, and he's been in that Washington establishment. So I don't know. I tend to like him. But when he came out with that UFO stuff, I was like, what the heck? Because my understanding is the nearest star is 1,000 light years away. We cannot travel anywhere near light speed. So, yeah, I don't think it can be an alien. So when that came out, I was like discombobulated. So you might be right. There might be stuff, you know, a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. The other thing I would say is, so I have a son that's the national, and which there's only a couple thousand of those in the United States. So he's very, very smart. He went into astronomy, and his thesis advisor works on satellites. His thesis advisor is a foreigner. But he told my son, he told him, yeah, you'll make out like a bandit, because he says the military is constantly bugging me to do stuff for him, but I can't because I'm not a, you know, citizen, but you are. And so I've had various tangential interactions with what you're talking about, and maybe I'll learn more. The other thing is, I had a roommate that was working on stealth technology, and this is back in the 80s. Back then. So you're right. But the one thing I would say is, you talk about how much money we're spending, but we shipped a lot of our manufacturing offshore. So we're sort of limited. If we really got into a slugging match, we may have trouble producing the stuff or enough of it to win. Again, you're right. I don't think the Russians are going to dare nuke our troops, because we've got a lot of nukes too, and a nuclear exchange. And there's no way you could shoot down all the missiles. It would be horrific, obviously. So nobody wants, I don't think anybody wants to get into that sort of situation. So I doubt if we nuke them, they nuke us. So I'm not particularly worried about that. And then my experience in Nagasaki, it's like, nukes are bad, obviously, but they're not the end of the world. I mean, I figured my mountains will break up most of the blast waves. So I'm not particularly worried about that. But on the other hand, I would say that in Ukraine, the Ukrainians definitely have taken their beating. And they, you know, the Russians have done decently there. Do you disagree?
I find it hard to believe that you can come, that you and other people on the white right can come to that conclusion. The Russian population is something like more than 140 million. And the Ukrainians before this were about 40 million. So when you are talking about the Russians outnumbering the Ukrainians almost 4-1, I find it hard to believe that you can say the Russians are doing well. Because if one country's got four times the population of another country, how is it that they are struggling to even invade a country that's got a quarter of their population? I think it's very clear that the Ukrainians are the ones doing much better. That whatever the weaknesses of the Ukrainians, man for man, are better soldiers. And they are clever. They I'm not talking Zelensky and the stuff they're getting out of America. There's lots of stuff that, you know, there's something that has come up that I've thought about many times now, is how much money, how much do the American weapons really benefit the Ukrainians? The main thing that helps them is the advanced technology that they didn't have. But in terms of many other things, if you look at the early days when Putin went in there, the Ukrainians, before anybody gave them anything, if you look at how those Ukrainians actually fought, those Ukrainians did an amazing job. I watched the first week, nobody thought that they would survive. Everyone was saying that within 72 hours, Ukraine would be finished. And the Ukrainians fought on for days on end. And I followed every single day the fighting around Kiev. And it became obvious to me, these Ukrainians are putting up a real fight. They're not stupid. So, you know, and even if America were to stop supplying stuff to Ukraine, I think then Ukraine would go down. But I think it will be... I think the Russians will battle their asses off. The Russians don't impress me, but the Russians have never been impressive. If you look at all of history, the Russians are not that impressive as soldiers. The Russians are very overrated, and people like McGregor and Scott Ritter, they talk too much pro-Russian stuff. I'm a big skeptic. Look at the Russians. Look at how the Russians struggled to advance. The
the battle lines are more have been more or less static for more than a year. I do admit that the Ukrainian counteroffensive was nothing that we hoped it would be, but the Russians, given the power of Russia, I'm not impressed with the Russians. Something else that I picked up, because I was following the Ukraine war much more than I was telling anybody. I just wasn't making it an issue on my websites. But I will tell you, when I was looking into, I was following lots and lots of stuff at various times. Every single day I was like watching videos, checking things out. And when it comes to nuclear stuff, I want to tell you, nuclear, there's only one nuclear power on Earth. It's called America. And if America wanted to kill anybody, America would kill anyone they wanted to. If America wanted to nuke China out of existence tomorrow, America could do it. If America wanted to nuke Russia off the map tomorrow, America would do it, could do it. The only thing that I look at it with America is to say, why is America tolerating the existence of China? I've seen where they did analyses a long time ago. China can be wiped out with 400 nuclear bombs. 400 nuclear bombs and China is finished. And yet everyone still listens to Jew propaganda. Oh, China's going to rule the world. China's not going to do anything. There's only one power on Earth. That power is called America. You people control it. And I'll tell you something that I came across with the Ukrainian stuff when Putin was talking nuclear. Do you remember Putin talking nuclear? We're going to nuclear. Where's Putin and all his nuclear stuff now? Okay. Well, what I understood was, what I picked up was that American generals had a meeting with Russian generals. They spoke to the Russian generals and they said to them, listen, if you use any nuclear anything, if you drop one, if you explode one nuclear device, we will come over there and we will smash you into the ground. And that is what I picked up from reading between the lines, that the American generals spoke directly to the Russian generals and they said to them, you do anything nuclear and we will destroy you. And it'll be swift and it'll be nasty and that'll be the end of it. And you will hear the Russians making their little nuclear noises now and then, but you'll see they'll never do anything nuclear, because the American military has decided that there's going to be no more nukes that are going to be used by anybody. And America can kill anyone they want to, and America has set the scene that nobody else is going to use any kind of nuclear weapons at all, and America will smash them into the ground. In fact, just the other day, you can go look it up recently, the North Koreans were talking nuclear. And the Americans, you go and check it out, you'll see your people have already told the North Koreans there will be no nuclear anything. You do anything nuclear and we will come and we'll destroy North Korea. I'm not joking with you. America has got insane military power and it's got aerial power and missile power, and America will destroy these countries without using nuclear weapons. America's got such technology. You guys will fly into, your people will fly into Russia, into China, into North Korea. You will destroy them from end to end, and they will not be able to recover. You'll break everything that they got. When your guys are finished with them, there won't be any nukes left in those countries. Everything of importance will be destroyed. And I'm telling you, that is the power of America. You might not believe me, but tell that son of yours that any opportunity he gets to do military stuff, tell him to get into that. But chances are, once your son gets into it, he will never be able to tell you what he's really doing, because he's not going to be able to tell dad. And Those guys from that old CIA thing. I must. I'm going to be bringing out and pointing people to some of those old videos. I can even tell you where to go. Just go and watch the 1 hour video about the CIA 1965, 1960s. You will fall on your back when you see what your people have done. The military is not like civilian life. Military is a whole different level, and it's not a bunch of Jewy crap. And your people are the only power on earth. The thing that irritates me is when I see the insane power that your country has, and then your country lets all kinds of other shitbags exist, like the Chinese, like going and helping the Chinese and the politics to help the Chinese. That must be a bunch of Jewish shit that's been going on there. So there are things that you people are doing that I don't see the sense of it. It's like a pointless exercise. So you might be surprised that I'm an American supremacist. I'm telling you my honest to God conclusions. And if you doubt me, you can doubt me all you want to, but I will say to you, come back to me in 5 years or 10 years time and see whether you're wrong or whether I'm right, because I've looked into this, and that's why I don't even listen to Scott Ritter and Douglas McGregor. Don't even listen to them. And I've told people, all the Christians and stuff, even here in South Africa, and even the pro-Israel Christians that I know, they were looking at this Hamas-Israel thing, and they were saying, oh, the war of Gog and Magog, and, you know, this is it, the end times. I said to them, man, you just chill. None of that's going to happen. In our lifetimes, nobody's going to fire any nuclear weapons anywhere. And anybody who tries will get smashed into the ground. And by the way, did you ever follow the Iranians who've been trying to get nuclear weapons, and how the CIA and Mossad, the many ways in which the CIA and Mossad stopped the Iranians in various ways? They went and killed all the nuclear scientists. That was one of the things they did. The other thing they did was they actually managed to get a virus. Listen to this. They got a computer virus into the Iranian nuclear computer systems that they had. Those systems are sealed off from the rest of the world, so they aren't on the internet. You can't hack into them. The Americans and Israelis got some kind of virus into their computer systems, and it destroyed everything. That's stuff that I remember from like 10 years ago. This stuff has happened before. I'm just telling you, you might not believe me. I'm just telling you that where your scientists and your engineers are, you people are the only power on earth, and nobody else exists. End of story. And prove me wrong.
They're trying to make China a big enemy. And my thing is, whether we could easily destroy them or not, is China's not expansionistic at all. I mean, they've traditionally been an insular. They got their own problems internally. They're not looking to make war or on anybody, or, you know, try to expand their territory. At least I don't think so. And I'm a little confused why I know why. They need us to have an enemy because they're worried about internal problems. So you pointed it externally. So, you know, before the enemy was Russia, still is, I guess. And now they're trying to hype up China as our big enemy. But I agree with you. I mean, I don't think that's in the cards. And the one thing I would agree with Douglas MacArthur is the Chinese want to be like Singapore. They just want to be a commercial thing, feed their people, internal problems. So, yeah. But yeah, you may be very well be right. And the UFO, I'd always assume the UFO is just a cover story for advanced weaponry. And again, you're right. With our stealth technology, if we can fly undetected over Russia, we could easily drop a nuclear bomb anywhere we want to over there. So I hope it doesn't come to that, because again, I mean, I slightly disagree with you. If it came out to an all-out slugging match and the Russians said screw it and launched, you know, because they got a lot of nuclear missiles, I don't think we could shoot all of them down. So I mean, we'd get hurt. I mean, we'd win. I agree with that. But they could give us a bloody nose at the very least. No, you disagree?
I totally disagree. I'm just telling you up front, okay? I'm telling you, the Russians will not even be able to launch the nuclear missiles to hit you. Your people will know about it before then. Your people will destroy them before they even launch the nukes. That may sound crazy to you. By the way, I don't understand what you are saying about, what's that other guy? That other guy with the UFOs? You mentioned him just now.
Oh, Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson. I'm not talking about Tucker Carlson. I don't know what he's told you about UFOs, if he's told you they're real. They aren't real. Or anything UFO is military, period. Period. There is no such thing as real UFOs. I used to believe that myself when I was stupid. But there are no aliens. So anything that they claim is a UFO, it's only one thing. It's Western military technology. And by the way, it might also not just be American. It can also be German, by the way. There was in one of my oldest videos, I mentioned a guy that I knew who joined South African National Intelligence and who told me about drones. He told me about drones in the 1990s. And that guy told me that the secret thing across the world that nobody was talking about in the 1990s and earlier were drones. And that he told me about South African drones. And he said to me that that another place that's very advanced with drones, believe it or not, is Germany. So he said to me that anything UFO is a drone. That's what he said to me back in the 1990s. We're talking, and it's somewhere on my old videos. I've mentioned that. So there are no aliens. There's only one thing. Anything weird that flies around that looks really weird, moves really fast, and seems inexplicable, there's 95% chance it's American. If it's not American, then it's German. And that's it.
Yes. Before I forget, did you see the announcement that we had achieved fusion? That blew my mind. So they just announced.
Tell me about that fusion with.
Well, fusion. You know, you got fission, which is the conventional.
Are you saying fusion for peaceful purposes?
Yeah, for energy production.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, they just announced it.
Really, they've cracked that problem. Wow. Okay.
So that's amazing.
So I've been blabbering a lot actually, but you worked me up, okay? I think all rednecks work me up. and then I really get wild, okay?
I end up interviewing you.
I know, and I'm busy attacking you and you're busy saying Americans are shit. Meanwhile, I'm an American supremacist, okay? And I'm just telling you that, and all of you people, one thing about you people is you people really underestimate what the military and the CIA are doing for you. You people hate the very people that are actually keeping you safe in your beds at night.
it's actually kind of wrong. Yeah, we who know what it's like to not have a military force or not be able to protect ourselves, we would have appreciated something like what you have.
Well, the question is to what extent is the CIA under the thumb of Jews? I mean, it seems like, and I've even heard the conventional mainstream guy saying stuff like, yeah, what is Mossad or Israel running our show? They have more power in the United States than, you know, we do. So that's the question. I mean, maybe you have some insight into that, but I think it's just impossible to know the extent that they're running the show.
I will agree with you that there are lots of weird things the CIA does that's not good. And I'm in agreement with you on that. So yeah, there could be all kinds of Jew crap. There has been other Jew crap, like the Jew Henry Kissinger and détente. I don't know if you followed the bullshit in the 1970s, but yeah. So anyway, we've been talking quite long actually. So are there any final things you want to say? You're working me up. You're working me up, and I'm finding these rednecks. And then whenever I talk to rednecks work me up. And then I need to go get some pills to calm me down, man. But it was good.
I hope they're not benzodiazepines. The final thing I would say is they were obviously trying to draw us into a war with Iran, and even though we did, when we assassinated that general, I was shocked. I mean, who assassinates a country's general that they're not at war with? But they have been trying to draw us into a war with Iran, like they did with Iraq. I mean, you'll notice these are the main regional competitors of Israel, and so far they've resisted that. So that's a good sign, at least. But I agree that our military is powerful. My only point would be is, They're not the Goliath they were in 1992. I mean, I think other powers could give us a bloody nose. So, but in any case, I tremendously enjoy talking with you.
No, it was good chatting to you as well. You've come up with some good stuff, so you'll have to do your homework and prove me wrong, and we can have some good fun chats. So, yeah, is there anything final that you'd like to say that you think people should hear? We wanted to talk about the NJP and all that, but maybe we can talk about that next time we talk. That was actually an important topic in whites organizing, but maybe we can carry that over and do a show on that and tackle that next month. How's that?
Yeah, it works for me.
Okay.
And there's nothing else. I'm all talked out, to be honest.
Excellent. What did Tucker Carlson say? Did he say aliens were real?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a mainstream journalist. At least he was. And he came out.
I used to follow him until he was fired. So what he did afterwards, I couldn't get the stuff. But yeah, I know I used to like him. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, he comes across to me as a decent guy. He's a fly fisherman, which is wins points in my book. But I saw a video of him in Central Park, and he was fly fishing. A guy came up and was filming. He was fly fishing in Central Park, and Tucker's like, "Why are you filming me?" And you could tell he was irritated. And the guy goes, "Oh, I just film interesting stuff." So this is he published. And Tucker said, he just, "I film interesting stuff I find in New York." And then Tucker softened, and he goes, "What are you doing? I didn't know you could fish here." And Tucker's like, "Oh, yeah, you can fish." And he goes, "What are you kind of fishing are you doing?" Because the guy was unfamiliar with fly rods. And so Tucker brought him over and said, "I showed him the flies and stuff." But he just came across as a nice guy in a circumstance where, you know, he was obviously surprised. But anyways, he started talking about those, and he pointed out these military pilots and that had seen them, and he had interviewed them. But I was just shocked because you're right. I don't think it's what we know about physics is true. The existence of aliens should be here, should be impossible unless, yeah. So, yeah, I found it discombobulating. So, but in any case, I have.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Are you saying that he was making the case that these are alien craft?
Well, he said that they could be coming from somewhere under the water because they've been coming out of the water too. So he didn't say they were aliens. He just said this is a real phenomena, and we can't explain the physics of it and that sort of thing. But just the fact that a mainstream guy was openly – I mean, that was the province of kooks and stuff, the Bob Lazars previously. So I don't know what's going on there. I mean, you might well be right because he could be – in with the system, though he almost definitely is. He's on Twitter now. So I do follow him on X. I guess it's called X now. And I was just shocked that a mainstream guy was, you know, talking about UFOs in a serious manner.
Okay, so the real thing is just that the UFOs are real, that they are seeing things that are flying around, and they are making all those weird moves that seem to defy physics, that seem to defy the laws of physics. But I'm telling you that behind all of that is a bunch of engineers. A bunch of engineers are sitting there in the same way like those guys who built that little Mars helicopter that's been flying around. It's been the first aerial vehicle to fly on another planet, you know? No, I have no doubt that when it comes to military science, remember the laws of secrecy. Just remember how secrecy works. I don't know how familiar you are with military secrecy, but if you are in the military and they make you sign the various things that if you tell anything that you're not supposed to say, they're going to put you straight in jail. It's that simple. And that is how all of military secrecy works. And by the way, I must tell you, while we talk about UFOs, you really should watch that video of mine about how America built UFOs. Because I go into military secrecy, and then there's the documentary. You know what used to fool me about UFOs? Because I wasn't as advanced as you in knowing that aliens can't even get here, but and you're dead right. You're totally right. They can't even get here. So the other thing is, when I was young, I used to be fascinated by this. So I followed all this, and the one thing that I always that fooled me logically, that fooled me, was you'd have people saying, I saw a spacecraft, etc. And then you'd get situations where there are pilots of civilian airliners and people who were on planes. And they come and they say, well, our plane was flying and this alien flying saucer was flying alongside our plane. And then I'd say to myself, okay, some people could be lying, but surely not everybody can lie. And that to me was the final word on it, is that surely not everybody is a liar. So when the pilots come and the pilots of the civilian planes come and people who were on the plane and they say, we saw a UFO, then I'd say to myself, well, you know, you've got all these different people, and why would they all tell the same lie? It makes no sense. Well, the answer came out in that documentary that I had inside that video, How America Built UFOs. And the answer stunned me. The answer was that those aircraft were flying and they were seeing classified aircraft that they're not supposed to see, okay? And then
what, yeah, like I said,
and then what happens is and what happens is the civilian airline pilots then send radio messages to the airport, and they say, oh, there's this plane, this black plane just flew past us, and they're like freaking out at this plane that suddenly like went woof and it was past them, etc. So it turns out that the airline pilots were actually very jumpy and like a bunch of crybabies. So the way that the CIA solved the problem was when those airline pilots come and they jump around and they're on the air and, oh, we saw this black plane, etc. And what they do is they send the FBI to the airport. And when the plane lands and the pilots and the passengers get off the plane, the FBI is there with the secrecy documents, and they make the pilots and the air crew and all the passengers sign the documents. And the documents are, you know, this is a secret, and if I tell anybody about it, I will go to jail. And that was how the problem was solved. So that is how you can get a plane load of people to see a black plane flying past them, and after the FBI has visited them and they've signed those documents and they are now in on a military secret, and they know if they open their mouths, they are going straight to jail. And that's how everybody turns around and says, hey, flying saucers were flying alongside our plane. And
I'd always assumed the UFO story was the cover for, you know, military airplanes and that sort of thing. I don't know. I'm not completely 100% sure now, but I don't know. I'm keeping an open mind.
Well, it's interesting. You and I are going in opposite directions. I am now absolutely, totally, and utterly convinced. And that's that. Anyway, Sid, it's been really awesome talking to you, and I've been blabbering on, and I think I'm suffering from some kind of effect that rednecks have on me. And
I don't know if it's my being a redneck. I have that effect on rednecks too. So
no,
they should be immune to it.
No, the reason I say it is because of some of those other shows that I was on where the people got me really excited, and they were rednecks. They were rednecks too. But anyway, it's been awesome chatting to you. Thank you very much. And we'll make a plan. We'll talk again. And we really got to talk about this NJP thing. But we got sidetracked.
Talk about organizing whites, period, and some of the challenges we have with that, but NJP is emblematic of the problem, I believe. So, yeah.
No, there's lots to talk about in that regard. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you will. Every fight.